It started with a Saturday lunch. It ended with three people dead. The suspected cause, allegedly, poisonous mushrooms. The cook, Erin Patterson, has been charged with murder and attempted murder. She says she's innocent.
I'm devastated. I love them.
I'm Christian Silver, host of the new ABC podcast Mushroom Case Daily, the podcast that follows the case of Erin Patterson as it happens. And if and when it heads to a full trial, we'll be there daily. To be the first to hear updates, follow Mushroom Case Daily on the ABC Listen app.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
The atmosphere in the stadium is electric. The stands are usually filled with hordes of footy supporters, empty tinnies, flung chippies, and the booming anger of those punters responding to whatever is happening down on the field. Sports, maybe? But tonight, it's mostly young women and girls, 96,000 of them, screaming every word to every single song. There's glitter absolutely everywhere. Feel bad for whoever's to clean this up. This is, of course, Taylor Swift, playing to her biggest crowd ever at Melbourne's MCG. In the crowd, few people are having a moment that will change their lives. And I don't mean the very experience of hearing T-Swift live. I mean that there are people getting engaged during a song called Love Story from Taylor's 2008 album Fearless, which is a loose retelling of Romeo and Juliet. Their stories are all over social media.
This is how I proposed to my now fiancé at the Eras Tour in Melbourne.
Point of view, you get engaged at the Eras Tour. I said yes. He got on one knee and took out a ring. Thank you to all the Swifties for your love and support in helping me pull this off.
I'm Farza Draki. This is Days Like These. And when we saw the many, many proposals that happened that night and during the Eras Tour, we wanted to know why. And because we take our jobs very seriously, we wanted to bring you the love story of one of these love stories. In this one, Romeo is Kesh and Juliet is aptly Jules. And they are fearless. Here's Hannah Riesch, our self-appointed love and relationships correspondent.
This love story, like all good love stories, begins with a teenage girl. Her name is Kesh, and when our story begins, she's just 17. Kesh is the eldest child, soon to be her school captain, responsible, a musician too. She was born in the Philippines, and she has a bucket list.
So when I was growing up and learning how to speak English, I watched a lot of American high school TV shows. And so a lot of my ideas of the world came from that. So I was like, before I turn 18, I need to make a bucket list. So there was stuff in it like my mom would never let me do, like skate in the city. And there was this one teacher at my high school that everyone dreaded having philosophical conversations with because he literally went to school for it. So that stuff was on the bucket list. But one of the items on there was prank call someone.
A friend gives Kesh a number to call.
I received a call from this random number and I didn't pick up because I don't usually pick up random numbers, right?
This is Jules, who, like Kesh, is 17, was born in the Philippines and is the studious eldest daughter and soon to be the captain of her all-girls Catholic school. But she's not a musician like Kesh. Instead, she's a dancer.
She left a voicemail accidentally and she said, "Hey, are we still on for dinner?" And I was like, "Who are you?"
It was basically like me asking this person out for a date.
And I was like, "Oh no, they're just not going to have anyone to go out for dinner with because I didn't reply."
This is all funny to them for reasons unfathomable to me now, as I'm not a teenage girl anymore. Jules has her own 2023 bucket list, though a prank call isn't on it.
I created a bucket list of just things that I want to do because I found myself holding myself back from a lot of things because of fear of rejection and other things because I'm a very anxious person and I really struggle with just letting go and just doing things. So my bucket list was kind of like things like stand up for myself if something gets hard.
Was love on that bucket list?
Love? Oh, my love was a really big... I'm a huge hopeless romantic.
Yep.
So it was definitely on there, but sometimes it felt like it was really impossible to find it because of Darwin or I was very closeted.
Yes. Instead of fair Verona, we lay our scene in hot and humid Darwin, a place that feels small and claustrophobic to Jules and Kesh. But back to their bucket lists. While love was high on Jules's, it didn't even rate a mention on Kesh's.
Yeah, I wasn't really planning on falling in love with anyone in my senior year. Mm. I just wanted to keep my head down and do my extracurriculars and, you know, focus on my academics.
While Kesh has ticked off an item on her bucket list with that prank call, Jules isn't making much headway in the love department because nothing more comes of their chance encounter. A few months later, fate has another plan. Okay, maybe not fate, but their mutual friend, Catherine. One night, towards the end of year 11, Catherine is on the phone to Jules. Then Catherine dials in Jules's prank caller, Kesh. Then Catherine bows out. It's her bedtime.
I had two exams the next day.
Yeah, like I should be focused 100% on my studies.
And the thing is, I also had a really strict sleep schedule for myself. I was clocked out by 10:30.
And then Kesh comes along and I'm like, oh?
And I was like, why am I pushing myself to stay past my bedtime that I've had for years for this random person that I literally just met?
And we stayed up till like 4 a.m. just FaceTiming and talking, and it felt like I knew her for like ever.
I just felt like there was something about her.
Like, this was an entirely new feeling.
Over the next few months, Jules and Kesh keep talking and talking, as teen girls do, but they still haven't met. That's until Kesh rocks up at one of Jules' K-pop dance performances.
She kind of just started dancing. I swear, like, time really slowed down for me. And there's this one point in the dance that I'm positively certain is when I realized that I was going to fall in love with this girl.
After the performance, they actually meet face to face. Kesh has a bold opening move.
She was like, Jules, I can rap. Do you want me to rap? And she was like, oh, yeah, if you just give me one damn chance, I could give you a really great Taylor Swift romance.
The move pays off.
It was supposed to be just she comes to my dance performance and that's it. But the impulsive in me says, let's go to Macca's. So I think there was a part of us that really just wanted to keep the night going.
It seems to be on, but then it's not. After that night, Jules hits pause, telling Kesh,
hey, I'm not in the best space right now. If we get into a relationship, won't work and it'll hurt both of us.
I was just shattered.
What follows is a period of pining. And what helps when you're pining? Music. Lean in, my young friends. Lean in. Jules goes back to her fave, T-Swift.
It was just very Taylor-coded the entire time.
And Kesh.
I started listening to Taylor Swift more just so I could understand her better.
Okay, we are finally getting to the getting together. It's now halfway through their final year of high school. After all that pining, Kesh and Jules run into each other at a party. They can no longer deny the sparks between them. It all spills out.
So I've been feeling the way I felt about Kesh for a really long time. Like, well, a really long time. I mean, maybe like a month at this point.
So Kesh plans out their first date meticulously. It's a classic Darwin night, steamy AF, and their date begins at an Italian restaurant, classy. And then serendipitously, there's a Ferris wheel in town.
I was just thinking the symbolism of the Ferris wheel is that I knew that our relationship wasn't going to be perfect and that we were going to have our ups and downs, but I wanted to ride the ride with her.
Kesh blindfolds Jules and takes her up on the Ferris wheel.
You know how much she likes Taylor Swift? She has that one song, Paper Rings. And I made her this origami paper ring that I was going to use to ask her out with.
Kesh has learned to play the ukulele just so she could sing Taylor Swift to Jules.
And she asked me, will you be my girlfriend? And I said yes. And it was so cute, so magical, because she told me that she went on the Ferris wheel a couple of times to figure out where it stopped at the top, so she knew exactly when to start singing to me and everything like that.
Because I was like, I feel like the stars are aligning, and if I don't put everything into this, then it's like, what was all of that pining for?
Jules has never kissed a girl, but...
we went back to the car and we kissed, and it felt like we'd been waiting forever just to do that.
That was amazing. I was like, about damn time, you know?
But Kesh and Jules have another thing in common. Strict parents, curfews, expectations that they take their final year of school seriously.
We were college captains of completely different schools. If we wanted to see each other, because both of our parents weren't really cool with the idea of a relationship, let alone a queer one, we would have really had to try and put the effort in to make this work.
These two aren't rule breakers by nature. They feel the full weight of their family's expectations and their respective school captaincies. But their feelings take over, and the lovebirds spend the next few months sneaking around. This is the stuff of You Belong With Me, Wildest Dreams, you know, all of Taylor Swift's best love songs.
I was just so happy, but the thing is, the other part of me was like, dun, 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 my parents.
Kesh had been outed to her folks a year before. While they seem determined to just ignore her sexuality, they're now paying attention to other things.
If a name gets brought up too many times, then it starts getting a bit suspicious. I thought everything was going to be okay, and I thought I could ease my parents into, you know, Jules and I being together. I always gave them a chance in my head to, you know, maybe they weren't homophobic, maybe they just were having difficulty getting good with the new times.
Then one night, Kesh and Jules are up late talking. So late beyond Kesha's usual bedtime that she actually falls asleep mid-call.
So my mom walked in and she had her detective moment and she was like, oh, so you and Jules are together. She was just like, you're an animal, you betrayed us. And then she basically threatened to wake my dad up. But I just got so scared thinking, you know, I don't want to lose Jules. I'd always thought about running away before, but it was all just theoretical.
But Kesh has played it out in her head so many times that when she starts packing her bag, it's like she's already done it.
I got my laptop, some school books, sunscreen, because, you know, it's Australia. So I was really proud of myself because I ended up getting my toothbrush.
It's the middle of the night when Kesh leaves. The streets are dead quiet.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do. We don't have any other family here. So I'm just running around here making phone calls, trying to figure out what to do. My phone's about to die.
Her tummy rumbles. She hadn't eaten the night before. The wee hours wear on, and as soon as Jules can, she picks Kesh up and they go to a friend's place. Then Jules gets a call from her parents. They tell her to come straight home. Kesh's parents had messaged them to tell them their daughters were in a relationship.
They just kind of went to the straight to the, why didn't you just tell us? But there was a lot of fear because I gotten the chance to come out to them on my own terms, like stripped away from me.
Jules's parents are more open-minded than Kesha's. Even so, they don't want their teenage daughter running away with her girlfriend. But Kesh asks Jules to come with her. Kesh had taken a huge risk in running away, and now Jules has to decide if she will do the same.
It feels like I need to choose between what I know now and what could be something amazing, because I didn't know what would happen if I just stayed and stayed timid. But I also didn't know what would happen if I left, if I just chose myself for once. So after like maybe an hour of just talking with my parents, but not really listening to me,
Jules feels she can't stay at home and also be with Kesh.
I put my foot down and said, I need to just do something for myself, which is why I made the choice I did and prioritized my relationship and prioritized myself over anything else. I actually had an emergency bag packed and I picked it up and I walked to the door and they see it and they're pretty against it. So I ended up having to bolt out the door. So, we basically ran away together. It was very Romeo and Juliet.
Jules literally runs on foot to where Kesh is staying. At this point, Jules and Kesh are about to do their final exams, graduate high school, and they're essentially homeless, living off not much money from their casual jobs.
So we're basically just together trying to figure out where to go, what to do. We basically hopped like between a few places and we feel really isolated at the time.
Of course.
Because it's like everyone's out here having fun and it's like we're worrying about what our next meal's going to be, how much we're spending in a day.
The only contact Kesh is getting from her family are emails from her mum.
Ranging from, we love you, we can fix this, come back, to hope bad things happen to you. You basically let your family down. And it got to this point where my mental health was really declining. And I was just having some really, really, really bad thoughts. So I was just like, can't really see a way out of this. And Jules was just so patient with me. She was just taking care of me.
With the help of their friends, they finish high school. And amongst the heartbreak of leaving their families, the couch surfing and the budgeting and the sweetness of being together on their own terms is Taylor Swift. Before they even got together, Swiftie Jules had managed to nab herself a Melbourne ticket to her Eras World Tour, despite millions of fans missing out. And now Kesh seems oddly determined to get one too, taking on two jobs and working as much as she possibly can to pay for the concert and the trip.
I couldn't put my finger on why this concert would have been so important for her.
Yeah.
Because I was like, you're not a Swiftie.
But supply is low and demand is high. The only way to get a ticket is by taking a chance with resellers. People are asking for $500 or $600 just for one ticket. Kesh can't afford that. A week out from the concert, they finally secure tickets from a woman who swears on her children's lives she's not scamming them.
When she sent me the confirmation email, I was like, oh, this is legit, this has to be it. And then after I paid the $400, I get another screenshot from her saying, hey, I can't give you this ticket because there's a name change fee and it's not my fault. And that's when I realized I got scammed.
Kesh was really, really upset.
They still fly down to Melbourne, holding out hope they'll somehow get tickets.
We were walking the streets of Melbourne and we saw so many queer couples and we were like, this is so cool.
I think because living with my parents, I was always under the impression that everyone was homophobic until I found a community outside of it.
It felt so far away from Darwin.
In Darwin, it's so hard to find another queer couple sometimes. Sometimes you feel like you're the only one because sometimes you get really, like, lovely smiles and sometimes you get, like, these glares.
There's only one shopping centre and it's hard because there's a lot of people there that were giving us nasty looks and it was just, like, we'd never been in an environment where it was, like, everyone's just openly fully supportive.
In the most romantic move of the story, Jules sells her solo Taylor Swift ticket, even though people were selling naming rights to their firstborns just to get to the concert.
Because I really needed to put my whole faith into Kesh and us, because I couldn't just hold on to this one ticket knowing I had a fallback plan. For me, I just really wanted her to know that I was going to full send this and go, yeah, I'm with you.
It's Valentine's Day and the concert is approaching and a miracle occurs. Thank you, St. Valentine. They find someone selling two tickets for a mere $550. Yes, they are obstructive view seats that cost the seller something like $100, but they go for it.
Oh, I was so happy. I knew I definitely got scalped, but I was so happy.
We didn't celebrate until we saw them actually like pop up in our Ticketek account and we were like, oh my gosh. We're going to Taylor Swift.
Taylor's concert is divided into eras, or albums.
Well, Jules said that we should dress up as like an era from Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was getting my head around what the eras were.
Yep.
Felt like I was memorizing like ancient history or something. And we went to the thrift shop and we basically got clothes.
And what era was Jules and what era were you?
Fearless.
Jules and Kesh are in sparkles and black and yellow and ready to go to Melbourne night one of Taylor Swift's Eras Tour. They are excited, but wary. They'd already been scammed once, and they had heard about people getting scammed at the very last minute.
We're kind of just holding our breath until the actual concert and till we walk through those gates and we're actually inside.
They approach the stadium, hearts racing. The pearly gates open and they are in.
We held our breath for so long and it felt like we could finally breathe because, great, $900 down, but we're here.
It felt almost like a cult because everyone there had like a whole wrist full of friendship bracelets. Some of them would have these like gemmed hearts around their eyes.
The woman herself, Taylor Allison Swift, takes to the stage in a jewel-encrusted bodysuit. The crowd goes cuckoo bananas, and even though Jules and Kesha's seats are high above and are behind the stage, they are loving every minute.
Oh my God, she's actually real. She's there. And I was so excited. I was like jumping up and down, like singing all the songs.
Back to those eras. After the first era, Lover, comes Fearless and a song called Love Story.
I felt like our love story was very love story, like the whole running away, the whole having to hide, because there's a part in the song about them meeting up in secret and then them finally being together in public, and I knew that it had to be that song.
Remember, there's going to be a proposal here.
If someone like Jules is able to stay with me when I literally have nothing to give her but my love, it's like, what am I waiting for?
The song begins with its signature country twang and emotional lyrics about young, star-crossed lovers.
I was just kind of in my own world, just singing.
Kesh, though, has been thinking about and planning for this moment, memorising Taylor's set list and her lyrics.
If there wasn't 96,000 people here, she's probably going to be able to tell that, you know, something's about to happen because I was so nervous. I was shaking. I only got one shot at this. Like, everything that came beforehand, the scalping, was resting on this fact of me getting the timing right, me having the box in the right hand, me on the right knee, me saying the right lyrics. And I was just thinking, there's so much that could go wrong.
And then I look to my left and I see Kesh on her knee and I'm like, what is going on? And then she pulls this ring out from behind her and she says, marry me, Jules, because the lyrics are Juliet, but she changed them to Jules. And she sings the entire lyrics, like word for word, as Taylor does in her song, and she just sings them to me.
I can't like explain Jules's face. She just lit up. She just looked like the happiest person there. Happiest person to be sitting in originally $65 obstructed seats. And I was like, oh my gosh, I just felt like this whole weight was lifted off my shoulders and the angels were singing with their harps above.
I like fall over and I just look at her and I hear screaming from around me and I'm like, oh my gosh. And of course I say yes.
She forgot to say yes, but it's okay.
Potato, potato, they're engaged.
She put the ring on my finger and that was just so monumental for me in that entire concert because Taylor's music took care of me at a certain point when I didn't have a lot of people around me. And then here's a person on her knee asking, like, proposing to me. She's been taking care of me. She's been with me through the high times and the low times. And here she is asking me to marry her.
Everyone around them erupts in celebration.
Everyone was hyping us up and it was just, it was a crazy surreal feeling.
That moment for us, like just being a queer couple at a Taylor Swift concert, able to just like hold hands and sing cute lyrics at each other and be able to do a public proposal, that was so special for us.
Kesh had asked people around them to film the proposal and the video goes viral the very next day. Look, some in the comments aren't happy to see a queer love story, but most are thrilled.
I never really saw queer multicultural people like myself in my community. I know that there's probably a queer Swiftie looking at our video going, like, that could be me one day.
Because a lot of the Taylor Swift proposals that we'd seen were a lot of straight couples. But it just felt like everyone had our backs. Everyone was rooting for us. It just felt like I didn't have to ask for anyone else's approval anymore.
The little Jules, who's closeted, who's scared. I think about her sometimes and I'm like, you don't need to be scared anymore because you're out, you're proud, and you have people who love and support you, and it was all worth it one day because there was a time when I never thought I'd be.
Jules and Kesh are now taking a gap year, saving up money to move to Melbourne and get married at the end of second year uni. And of course, Taylor Swift will feature. Their first dance will be to Timeless from Taylor's Speak Now album, Duh. Kesh and Jules know that they're young to be getting hitched.
At the end of the day, people don't really know the extent of what we've been through together and how much we've had to sacrifice to get to where we are. We deserve happiness too.
We've definitely had to fast track certain parts of our relationship because of the situation and circumstances we've been in. But the thing about me and Kesh is we never gave up. Like, I feel like that sometimes it just feels like we've had this invisible string tying us to each other this entire time. And
another T-Swift reference, hey?
Yep, you got that, yeah.
Do you think you are now a Swiftie?
Oh, I'm not sure I could call myself that. I definitely admire her musicianship and the way she just is able to tell a story. But I wouldn't say that I'm like a hardcore Swiftie. Not like Jules anyways.
That was newly engaged couple Jules and Kesh. And a big congrats from everyone at Days Like These. We can't wait to see where your love story goes next. Hannah Reish reported this story, and her favourite Taylor Swift era is Folklore. Jess O'Callaghan is our executive producer, and she likes to belt out Antihero when she's alone in the car. Lisa DeVissi is our producer. She heard the song Dear John in her early 20s. She says it was like being hit in the head with a shovel, in an enlightening way. Matthew Crawford is our sound engineer, and he can't settle on an era yet, but we're betting on the tortured poets department. I'm Farz Adraki, and after hearing Jules and Kesha's love story, Taylor's music just hits different. This story was produced on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung, Boonwurrung, Boonwurrung and Gadigal peoples. Now, if you want to understand Swiftie lore a little better, like Kesh or myself, there's a podcast for that, Stop Everything. Each week, Beverly Wang and a guest critic make you smarter about pop culture. They have not one, but two episodes unpacking the Taylor Swift phenomenon. And it's not just about Taylor. There's episodes on Bridgerton, Dune, and our very own Hannah Reish sharing her addiction to mumfluencer TikToks. It's really good. Search for Stop Everything on the ABC Listen app. This is Days Like These. See you next time. And remember, hold on to the memories. They will hold on to you.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.